Let's continue to learn the topic of overcome laziness. Yesterday we reached to point B. Why are we lazy? First one, we don't think about the future. The end, know how to plan the future. And the other insect don't know how to plan the future. So in the winter time, you can see a lot of insects die, but we almost never see the ant die. The ant always busy in carrying the food around into the net. Next. And the second, why are we lazy? That we don't want to suffer. Now, how does lazy affect us? The first one is poverty. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6, which I already read yesterday. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 11. Anybody read it? So shall your poverty come on you like a crowder, and your need like an armed man. Here, talk about the previous verse. If we sleep more, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Spend too much time relaxed and sleeping and without want to suffer, and eventually we are going to suffer from poverty. Poverty has many different kind of meaning. The first meaning is you don't have enough income to support the expense. And it's poverty. Because we don't prepare for the future enough. We are lazy. And another poverty is spiritual. We are poor and naked because we don't spend time diligent in pursuing spiritual progress. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Same thing. Yesterday we talked about Verse 30, I went by the field of the lazy man. The field of the lazy man. You know, when we take care of the yard, first you have to pour the wheat, right? Pour the wheat. The second is you have to water it so the yard can look good. And if we don't pour the wheat, and the wheat will grow. When the wheat grow, the wheat will have many seed. And when the wind blow the seed of the wheat, and the seed will spread everywhere. And then the seed will grow more wheat. So eventually, the grass will be overcome by the wheat. So, spiritually means what? Inside our heart, always there's a wheat. And the words of God is that the seed is life. If we study enough words of God in our heart and pray enough, and then the water come in, the words of God will grow. So a lot of students, when they go home after attending NYTS or any seminar, Almost all their parents feel that my children changed. How come? Because the words with life of Jesus Christ come into your field, in your heart, and pray Holy Spirit watering, and you will grow. But after the spiritual gathering, then you go into the school. You go attend a lot of social gathering or party or this and that. And that kind of worldly thought or culture or people's lifestyle, it's just like we, one by one, fall into the heart. All right. That if we don't pour it out, we don't do the spiritual cultivation to discern what is the we don't pour it out, then that the stone that come from the world stay in our heart and gradually grow and grow and grow. And eventually all our thinking become watered. Right? And the words of God just been choked by the watery thinking. Then our life will gradually move into a direction away from God. So this is so-called a field, a lazy man field. We all study the same Bible. We also believe same Jesus. We worship the same God, and we attend the same service. But eventually, everybody will be different, right? Why? Because some are diligent to take care of the young. Some are not diligent to take care of the young, spiritual young. So the outcome will be different. Now you look into the another one. Chapter 24, verse 31. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. And then its cervix was covered with nettle. And its stone wall was broken down. The stone wall was broken down. When the field, right, you build a stone wall for what purpose? The field, you build a stone wall for what purpose? To keep the animal outside, right? I don't know, you have this kind of experience. Sometimes you plant a vegetable in your backyard. Some of the deer or raccoon or this and that, and come and eat it up. Do you ever have this kind of experience? Something like that. That's all. War is to protect. Is to protect the yard from the wild animal to come in. And spiritually, the wild animal is what? Satan. If we don't build a wall, then the Satan will sneak in. The example of Judah, right? Judah's spiritual cultivation had one big hole. That big hole is what? Covet. So Satan just sneak in to Judah's heart from that shortcoming, that weakness. So he did not cover it. He did not repel it. So Satan just put the thought of betraying Jesus into Judah's heart. Eventually Judah failed in the journey of following Jesus Christ. Right? The same with David, right? David originally very good boy, right? Very good shepherd. God was with him. But he had a shortcoming. What is the shortcoming? Of this sex. Right? And when he became a king, he take a nap until sunset. His lifestyle already become very laxed, not alert, not watchful, not diligent. So Satan sneak in, and then he plot a trick to kill a husband of a wife. Right? He planned it very wisely, but in the eyes of God, still God can detect it. So when the husband been killed by the enemy, and David was able to marry the woman, but God said, your hand has blood.
How come they become so serious? Because was not diligent, was lazy to mend the wall. So Satan sneak in.
You know, right now we have about 40 people attending here, right? According to our experience, almost every SSC, NYPS, RHPS, after 5 and 10 years later, always somebody disappear from church. They're gone, never come back to church. But I hope this 2014 RSTS held in Bowling Park will be different. Nobody will disappear after 10 years later. Are you sure? Who can predict 10 years later you will remain in the church? Raise your hand. Nobody can predict. 10 years later, you think you still will be in the church? Raise your hand. Oh, most of you, some are not very sure, right? Oh, some are not very sure, you are very humble, right? Oh, it's good, right? But if we do just what we mentioned, right? Very diligently pour the wheat from your heart and mend the wall so the animal will not come in. Don't leave a space for Satan. Then 10 years later, everybody will be in the church. Especially when you go to college, that is the most dangerous place. And especially in the weekend, right? Monday to Friday, you intensive study. So much pressure. The beginning of the weekend, we want to relax. We want to feel more fun. And we put off the guard. And that is the most dangerous. Especially the college year, first and second year, most dangerous. Because you enjoy total freedom. So, be diligent. If we lazy, poverty will come, even death will come. Proverbs 21, before we call that, Proverbs 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of lazy men are desirous and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Here talk about two kind of men. One is lazy, right? Another one is diligent. What's the difference? For those who lazy, even they have a desire, they have a goal, they never reach that because they don't want to put effort. They don't want to suffer. But for the diligent, they have a goal, they have a desire, but they are diligent, they put effort into it, they reach it. Right? So you see so many brothers and sisters play the piano very well, right? Why? They have the goal, I want to serve God, right? So I start to practice. You put effort into it. And practice all the time. Then eventually, the church can use us to play the piano. But if we have the goal, one day I want to serve God, right? And I don't want to learn piano. I don't want to put effort into it. But we still cannot play. We still cannot do it very well. So diligence and lazy make a difference. Really make a difference. If we want to serve God, we need to be diligent to prepare for it. Right now, GA come up with a program to promote learning of Spanish. Anybody speak Spanish? Raise your hand. Oh, very good, right? Right now, we are building Dominica is building under the construction of a church building, two-story building. The first story is the chapel and dining area and the kitchen. And classroom. And the second story will be living quarter. So the church is planning Then after the Dominica church building construction finished, at summertime, we will be able to accommodate more youth and go there to preach the gospel. All right. When you preach the gospel, you have to do what? Speak Spanish. You speak English, nobody can understand it, right? You speak in tongue, even more, even one understand it. No, speak Spanish. But if you want to speak a good Spanish, then you have to put effort into it, right? Learn from it. And it's very good that we have that kind of opportunity, right? Even though life in Dominica is so much different. The first difference is what? Mosquito. You like it? Mosquito. The second difference is fly everywhere. The third difference is rat, mouse, running everywhere in the church. You like it? You don't like it, right? But if all your life you've been so comfortable, especially in California, probably, you cannot do too much for God. Too comfortable. You look into the teaching of the Bible, right? Anyone who wants to do something for God always needs to sacrifice. And you start from Dominica. Dominica is a testing stone. If you can able to go there, right, and work diligently, then you are able to do a lot of good things for God. But don't worry, you will not suffer too much. The building already been done. Before the building done, do you know what happened? We used to have an older building. All the timber, the pillar, all been corrupted by termite. And the roof had a lot of leakage. In the winter, in the evening time, you look on the roof, you can see the moonlight. When outside is heavy rain, inside is a small rain. Right? So one day, a volunteer went there. At the midnight, wake up, how come my blanket is wet? Well, why is blanket wet? Because outside heavy rain, so dripping to the blanket. And at that moment, feel very, suffering, very inconvenient, right? But after you finish that journey, you recall that memory is very beautiful. Yeah, because I had done something very important. I go here to teach the kids there. I go here to preach the gospel there. Right? It's wonderful. And it will make you more mature. Right? Also, be diligent. If we are diligent to learn, we have a goal and we can reach the goal. If we are lazy, even we have a goal, we can never reach the goal. The difference is we are not diligent. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to put effort into it. And chapter 19, verse 15, Proverbs. Chapter 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and the idle person will suffer hunger. You say lazy and idle person. Lazy person casts into deep sleep. Sleep is good. It's a process to recover us, refresh us, so that we can work more, right? Fulfill our duty more. But if we sleep too much, then it's lazy. So the first lazy affects us in poverty. The second is death. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kill him. For his hand refused to labor. A person refused to labor eventually is what the desire will kill him. So, we already mentioned that laziness eventually will produce spiritual death. You don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to serve. Oh, I don't want to do anything. And eventually it's death, spiritual death. It's not because God did not give us opportunity. It's because we don't want to fulfill our own part. Heavenly journey is a covenant between man and God. God already fulfilled his part with Jesus' crucifixion. But right now, we have to fulfill our own part. Bear the cross, deny ourselves, follow Jesus. Right. The third, how does laziness affect us? Because of laziness, so eventually we will suffer. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Chapter 10, verse 26. It's also very important, meaningful, right? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. A vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. So is a lazy man to those who send him. Vinegar to the tooth and smoke to the eye. How do you feel? Especially smoke to the eye. How do you feel? Painful. You cannot open at all. Right? Especially when we are in Africa. They want to prepare a land, right, to plant something. They are lazy to pull the weed, to cut the grass. So what did they do? Put a fire to burn it. Right. So when you're passing by that piece of land, so many smoke, then your eye almost cannot open. So a lazy person, it's just like a smoke to the eye. Eventually you will suffer. And how about the vinegar to the tooth? You will feel even very painful too. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. Because of laziness, the building decayed, and though idleness of hand, through idleness of hand, the house leaks. So what does that mean? The laziness, the building will decay. Why? Why? If you want to take care of a building, right? What do you do? You have to paint it for a few years, right? How often does your home paint it over? 5 to 7 years, right? You have painted it again. But if a person lazy, right? And I don't want to labor, because if you want to paint it, you have to remove the older paint, peel off one, the older one, and apply the new one. You look into the painting here, right? Originally, 1998, when they purchased this building, they mobilized the congregation, a lot of youth in your age, Sunday, many, many Sundays, they come, and then they start to paint it. So it looks very good, right? But it looks very good. This is the second or third painting. It's not the first painting. We purchased in 1997. The first painting, if we don't paint the new one, the first painting right now probably already cracked or peeled. When the wood don't plant the new paint, what is going to happen? The water, the moisture is going to rotten the wood. If the wood is not good painted, and the termite will go into it. So eventually the house will collapse. So the chapter 10, verse 18, the second part, and through idleness of the hand, the house leaks. So what does that mean? Right? Sometimes the roof, you have to take care of the roof very well. When somewhere there's a crack, you go to repair it very soon. If we don't repair the roof, and the crack will become larger, and the water will leak and go through that crack and spread to any other part, and eventually your whole roof will be rotten, and the leakage will be even greater. So a beautiful house, always the owner spend a lot of time to take care of it. So what does that mean? They say, I have no house. That house represent a family. A good family take a very diligent person to take care of the family. If we see here, there is a spiritual crack, right? Husband and wife cannot get along and always quarrel. This is a small crack, right? We have to repair it. If you don't repair it, the crack becomes larger and larger and they don't divorce. It becomes irreversible, then it's too late. All right? And if the children, the face lukewarm, then we have to repair it. Otherwise, it will become worse. Okay. The third one. Burden others. Yesterday, we already mentioned that in the time of Paul, he said, if we don't labor, we should not eat. So we come to the church, right? We enjoy the lunch. It's good. But we have to think, when I come to the church, in certain way, I must do something for church. I look into Garden Grove Church, the youth is quite good, right? They have a cooking team. Even the youth, the brother, they join the cooking team. Anybody here join the cooking team? You, what did you cook? Spaghetti. Every time, spaghetti. Right. Do you think about something new? Or you're not team captain? Well, spaghetti will be good enough in your age, right? Because if this one cooks spaghetti, another one makes sushi, another one makes what? And then you have a variety of choice. That's good. At least we have to serve. The worst case is what? When we come to the church, we do nothing. And we are waiting other people to serve. And we start to say, oh, this food is no good, and that's no good. The toilet is not clean. The air condition is not cool enough. The parking lot is not clean enough. Right? Yeah. Criticize a lot and doing nothing. That was the worst case. No. Because church is a family, you know? Yes, if I cannot cook, at least I can clean. If I cannot clean, then at least I can do something. Everybody do something and add up all the effort together, and the church will function very well, right? It is more blessed to what? There's a word. It is more blessed to what than to what? It is more blessed to receive than to give. Right? It is more blessed to receive than to give, right? I come to the church, everybody care about me, pray for me, right? More blessed to receive than to give. Is that right? No? Then what? It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? Do you want to lie down on the bed and seek everybody pray for you? Or you want to be healthy and pray for those who are sick? Which way you like? Of course, both of them are blessing. When you seek somebody, come and care about you, pray for you, it's a blessing, right? But it's more blessed if we are healthy, we can help and pray for those who are sick. And when we pray for those who are sick, actually, we are not lazy, right? So we should not be lazy. So in the church, we should not become burden of other church. We should be productive in the church. At least we need to do something to share some kind of workload. You know, a lot of people, when they start to share the workload, they will never complain anymore. Why? Then you know how difficult it is. The next one, the laziness will alienate God. Because if we don't want to take care of our own spirituality, then our relationship with God will be even further away. How to improve? Number one, be self-motivated. Proverbs chapter 6 is talk about the end. The end are self-motivated. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 7 and 8. Which have been no captain, oversee or ruler, providing her supplies in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest. So have no captain or ruler, overseer. What does that mean? Nobody commanded, but they do it automatically. That's called self-motivation. You know, a lot of people, they are self-motivated. So even their parents, both of them had two jobs. But they still study very well because they are self-motivated. But some of the youth, they study only because what? The parents keep on nagging. Hey, last midterm. How many A, how many B, how many C, right? Oh, my father is keep on nagging me. I put effort into it. Right? When my father is far away, then I keep on C. Right? We are not self-motivated. So self-motivated person, you will not be lazy. Why? Because you are not waiting somebody to stimulate you, or to supervise you, to order you, to command you to do something. You are self-motivated. And that kind of self-motivation, one of the very important reasons is because of God. Can you find a verse? If I am out of my mind, it's because of God. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. And if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of the sound mind, it is for you. What does it mean beside ourselves? Crazy. If you look at us like a crazy person, it is because of God. Crazy means abnormal. So the people consider Paul was crazy. Why? He gave up the title of Pharisees. Right? He gave up the status of become a Sanhedrin, right? Like a senator. And then he gave up everything to preach the gospel. He was very diligent to praise God. Who motivated him? It is because of God. So when God's love comes into us, you will be motivated. Why your parents labor so hard for you? Why? One word. Because your parents love you. So simple. Right? So if we really love God, I really love you, then we will be motivated to do something, to improve ourselves. To do something for God. Right? So the self-motivated, and another self-motivated is because of thanksgiving. We really appreciate God, we give thanks to God, and then we will be very diligent to do something for God. Do you remember the Mary of Magdalene? What kind of problem she had before he encountered Jesus? Mary or Magdalene? What kind of problem she had? She commit adultery. That problem, according to your Bible. the marrow magnet. What is inside her? She was possessed by Satan, seven Satan. Right? You know, only possessed by one Satan, you cannot sleep. Well, we have a sister in South Carolina before she was converted to Christ. She also possessed by Satan. And she was unable to cook. Why? While she was cooking, and Satan keep on put more salt, put more salt. Everybody is too salty, can I eat? So when he tried to do the family chore, she want to make a left turn, and Satan just asked her to make a right turn, and she just stand there. That turn or right turn, she don't know. So the life become abnormal. And then after she convert to Christ, everybody pray for her, the Satan gone. And right now, she appreciate God very much. So that Mary, after Jesus cast out the demon, what did she do? First, she followed Jesus. The second, she even used her own property to work, provide the need of Jesus. Why? Because something motivated her. She know how to show gratitude to God. So how can we become very diligent in serving God instead of laziness? If we know, if we a person really know how to appreciate God, try to do something, repay God's love, then we will be motivated to do something. And this kind of servitude is very, very powerful. When Jesus Christ healed the 10 person who had leprosy, right, how many of them come back to give glory to God? Only one, right? So we understand in the church, those who really know how to repay God's love is not many, probably even one in a ten. But if we can really find somebody really want to repay God's love, then the church will be very, very powerful. Because those who want to repay the love of God, they don't need anybody to tell them, you have to do this, you have to do that. Why? Because they are self-motivated. So sometimes we look into the church member, they start to bring the truth seeker to the church. Nobody tell them to do so. And they start to visit the member who are weak and encourage them to come to church. Nobody tell them to do this. And how come they are so diligent? Because God's love motivates them. So, this is the first one. How do we improve ourselves not to be lazy? The first is self-motivation. And the second is think about the consequence. When we think about the consequence, we learn a lesson. Yeah. And we will wake up. Then we will be more diligent. So a family, if there are four siblings, right? They all grown up in the same family. Those who are very diligent, they're always doing the best. Those who are lazy, always lag behind. So we have to think about the consequence, and then we will be self-motivated. And the third one is learn from others. If we look into people in the church or in your school, how many of them are lazy? What is the outcome? Even your family member, how many are lazy? What is the outcome? Lazy in worshiping God. Recently, a brother told me, I have four brothers, but I am the one doing the best. Why? Because he is the only one out of four come to church and really very diligent worshiping God. So because of this, he said, I know God is good. You don't need to tell me anything in the Bible. When I look into the four siblings, I am the one doing better than all other three, then I know God is good. So, laziness, we learn from other people, then we know we have to be diligent, not lazy. Now, let's pray in silence.